good morning, guys. It's great to see you. I don't know about you, but man, this just feels crazy right now, like just busyness. And I feel like I haven't heard from you and vice versa in a minute. I don't know. We've just been just going and going and going. But let's try to pause here a few days before the big hoorah of Christmas. This is kind of our last message, last installment, if you will, of Advent. And so we've been doing hope and peace and love, and now we're talking about joy. So Christmas joy is a controversial deal, just because of the way that's displayed in our culture, right? And so I don't know about you, but I can sometimes get mixed feelings, particularly when we're talking about like Christmas cheer, right? So I don't know. Buddy the Elf, anybody a fan of Buddy the Elf? Oh, yeah. All right. So I had this image this week. One of my favorite scenes, I don't know, he's got a lot of good scenes in that movie, by the way. But one of my favorite scenes is when he's saying, I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing. That's some Christmas cheer, man. Like, that is just off the charts, right? And so we know people like that right now, right? Who, it's just like, man, you really, really like the Christmas holiday. And they all seem to work at coffee shops, by the way. No, I'm kidding. You don't need another espresso. Maybe I do. But all that to say that there are, on the one hand, there are people who are just, it's just like that's just in them, right? There's joyous stuff. And then there's another part, right? There's another part of Christmas and the season that's not quite like that, right? It brings up all kinds of feelings of family, right? Broken relationships or estranged family members or, you know, memories of, something rough happened around the Christmas season. You know, somebody, a loss of a parent or a loss of a sibling, loss of a friend, broken relationships. A relative of mine years ago was told about divorce on Christmas Day. You know, that's when they split. Gosh, that's probably 20 years ago. But I mean, so it brings up all kinds of memories, right? All kinds of memories and all kinds of stuff. And it's like this, it is a bit of a paradox, right? Because on the one hand, there's some mourning, there's some difficulty, maybe a lot of difficulty, not just some. And then on the other hand, there's this Christ child. There's this joyous experience. And so we're going to, here in a moment, probably in 2, 3, 4 minutes, we're going to actually listen to the scripture in the form of a song. Has anybody ever heard of Seeds Family Worship? It's like a little kid's, it's a little kid's song music. I don't know. They really get the scriptures in me. So we're going to go to Sunday school here in a minute. But before that, I just want to kind of just paint the picture a little bit of the story of Christmas. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but just to see how these things of mourning and joy were going together during the time of Christ. So we know the story well for most of us, right? An angel appears to Mary, and it's just this glorious, glorious experience. She's terrified, and you know, this angel tells her, you know, what's coming, right? And that she is this little girl, really, is going to carry the Savior of the world. And that happens. There is this moment where, you know, they go back to Bethlehem, and, you know, Bethlehem's pretty small. Bethlehem's probably at this time, some say as little as 300 houses. Right? So Bethlehem's a pretty small place. It's probably about a 30, 45 minute walk from Jerusalem. So it's not far. And so they go, and, you know, they're looking for a guest house, probably in the homes of people that, you know, Joseph would know, and, you know, just trying to figure out where to stay. And, you know, guest house, it kind of brings me back to Nepal. It was likely a gode in Nepali, which would be like the lower room where animals would stay. So it's definitely part of the house. It wasn't like they're, you know, out in a barn, but it's just the underneath room of the house. And we had a gode. We had a place like that in our house in Nepal, in the village. And so they're staying there. Because they couldn't find any, nicer guest house or whatever to stay in. Usually a guest house in Middle Eastern and South Asian culture would be kind of at the top of the house, and this is at the bottom. And so this is all like conjecture with socio-cultural analysis, so we don't know for sure, but I'm just a little bit of conjecture here. But so they're staying there, and there's this glorious appearance, right? There's this star, glorious, right? And these shepherds, the scriptures say that we're going to listen to here in a minute, they're in these fields, these shepherds, and they see this star, and an angel appears to them, like crazy, you know? And then they follow, and they come, you know, to this Christ child. And this is glorious, right? We know that from scripture. The angels are even crying out worship. On the other hand, there's a not so glorious thing taking place, and this is likely have taken place a bit later. The Magi they come to Herod, which wouldn't have been, again, not far away from Bethlehem, and they come, and Herod, he tells them where the Christ child is, because they're like following the star and whatever, and this could have been a many month journey. Most historians are dating the appearance of the Magi to be anywhere between about 13 months to a year after Jesus was born. Some of you, I don't know if anybody has worked with Koreans at all, but in Korean culture, you will say you're age two at 13 months, right? And so whatever the date after your birthday, you're like 1 year older. That kind of sucks, actually. But that's just kind of how it is. So when Herod gives us edict that kids boys 2 years of age and under would be put to death, it could have been likely that Jesus would have only been like 13 months old. But just to be safe and to eliminate Jesus, right, because he gives us edict, right, that all the boys would be killed. So he has everybody killed 2 years age and under. He's kind of likely dating that from, when the Magi appear to him. So I share all that to say that there's this glorious appearance, but on the other hand, there is massacre going on. It could have been a small massacre, if you will, because of the size of Bethlehem, because the scripture reads that the kids would be put to death in Bethlehem and the vicinity around Bethlehem. But whatever the case is, for some, perhaps many parents, these times of Christ, when Christ came into the world, was not glorious. They lost their son. Perhaps sons, plural. And so there's this mixture. Saying Merry Christmas. I mean, we don't have to imagine how glory and sadness and glory and mourning can coexist. We see it happening all around us, and it was happening on the first Christmas when Jesus came. So we're going to listen to this song, and what I encourage you to do is, as you're listening to the song, I encourage you to at one moment in the song picture yourself as a shepherd, put yourself in their shoes, and then picture yourself as Mary or Joseph. And then I want you also, which will be hard, but I want you to picture yourself as a parent who is losing their son. And just let the Lord and take you to different places of emotion as you listen to the scripture. So Paul, if you would play that, or whoever's there.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news.
I'll bring joy before we go, joy before we go. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ.
So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And so there will be a Savior who's born, and his joy will be for all people. That's the phrase I want us to fixate on, that his joy will be for all people. All right, so this term, joy, it's what we're focusing on, yet it's one of those terms that it's a little bit tricky to define. I think a lot of times I've heard messages, and a lot of people talk about this, particularly in the Christian circles, trying to differentiate joy from happiness. And I actually listened to several joy sermons this week, and I would say the majority of pastors spent about 80% of their message telling me how different joy and happiness is. So I'm going to be one of the preachers that doesn't do that today, because there is an element of happiness within joy itself. Like, you find any definition of joy, and happiness is there somewhere. So there is an element of happiness, but there's this joy. The best that I can define it, because it comes from a Greek world, a Greek word, grace. We all know charis, right? Charis is, I don't know if she's here today, but charis, that comes from a Greek word that is grace, right? And so, and something like charismatic Christians, right? These are gifts of grace, right, that God pours out. And so the root word of joy is charis, but it's from the best that I can understand, and this is powerful, guys, it's grace felt or grace experienced. That's what joy is. Joy is grace experienced. So there. Of course, there's going to be some sort of exuberance or happiness or fortitude, something, right, that takes place. And that's why Christian joy can endure a lot, right? Christian joy can lift its eyes up beyond circumstances, beyond just momentary happiness, but it can lift its eyes up beyond that. So as you think about joy, and as we think about the Christmas story, let's try to get that planted in our mind. Grace experienced. Grace felt. And if you can think about different times in your life, when you know that, like, you're looking at a circumstance in your life, right, and you're like, man, there is no way. There is no way that I should have been able to make it. I should not have been able to make it through that, right? So there's an element of faith there. There's an element of perseverance there. But I don't know about you guys, but have you ever seen a person who have just been through so much, but they're full of the joy of the Lord in their life? Isn't that amazing? Like, when you're around those people, it's kind of contagious. Right, you're around them, and it's not just, again, it's not just this fleeting sort of thing. It's not just like, you know, they smile and that's sort of it, but there's just something from deep within their soul rooted in the story of God, rooted in salvation. And so really, as we think about joy, we are talking about the joy of salvation, this joy that grace has been experienced and felt. And so one of the ways that I like to think about grace, and a lot of people have said this, but grace is, you know, it is getting what we don't really deserve, right? It's just this gift. I remember trying to explain grace one time to a person who believed that they needed to work for their salvation. And it was wild. I had this gift in my hand, like a little wrapped gift that I made. I thought about this beforehand. It wasn't like I just made the analogy as we were talking. It was a few teenagers, actually. It was when I was living overseas, and they I was explaining salvation. I was explaining about this gift of grace, and I kept extending that gift, and the gift was right in front of their face, right in front of their eyes, and they kept telling me about working, for their salvation. Well, if I do this good thing, or if I do this thing, or if I do this right, if I do this right, if I do this right. And it was as if we were speaking two different languages. And I was kept giving the gift, and they were, and I'm like, did you not see the gift in front of your face? Like, I'm like giving you this gift. Like, would you just accept it and receive it? And it was crazy talk. And salvation is a little bit crazy. Right? This joy that we get in salvation, it is a little bit wild. It is a free gift, right? A free gift from God. And that is what we have been extended by the birth of the Savior, this free gift of salvation. No doubt that evidences of our salvation are these good works. I do believe firmly, I think you can read Galatians, we do need to work our butts off for the King. I think that is just the proper response to being servants of Christ, not to earn his favor or that he'll be pleased with us just because we work hard, but as an evidence, right, of who God is. So don't hear me saying that. But there's this gift, right, this gift of grace. A friend of mine, the salutation of his email, it says, there's so much grace. There's so much grace. So every time I get an email from him, I'm like, you're right. You're right. Especially because I didn't respond to this email for like 3 weeks or whatever. No, you guys know I'm not that guy. I respond to emails pretty quick. But all that to say, there is this grace felt with joy. So I don't have a whole lot to say today, guys, other than to say that this joy has come for all peoples, and mourning and joy can coexist. And so just as a way to kind of respond to this, so the first thing I would like us to do, I'm just going to take a moment, and some of you are really going through some hard things. And if you're not, people who are going through some hard things. So I would just like you to take a moment and kind of figuratively, maybe even literally, give that to the Lord. Say, Lord, here is this. You can name it. Lord, here is this. And if you would just like, with your fist, if you would even just kind of just let go of it. Say, Lord, here it is. Let's do that for about 60 seconds. Lord, we do. We let go of those sad emotions, not letting go in the sense of that they're over, but we cast them upon you. We give those burdens to you. Relationship troubles, work troubles, sadness that we feel over lost loved ones, sickness, disease, things said about us and that came back to us, and gossip or whatever. We give those to you. We give those to you, Lord. Take them from us, O God. And secondly, guys, I'd like us to kind of go to a different place. And this joy of salvation, this joy that each of us was lost and now we're found. This joy of salvation that that Jesus on the cross died for all of us. Let's take a moment to go there in our mind, and maybe it's a prayer, maybe it's a thank you, maybe it's there's something that rises up in your heart to express your joy for that. Let's take a minute to do that. Just a reminder to us, guys, that we, whether we realize it or not, whether we would say it like this or not, but guys, we have each seen the Christ child, right? We have experienced Christ. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. We have experienced that. Maybe we haven't literally seen the angelic beings, you know, gathered around in the field, but we have. In a very spiritual and a very real way, each of us have experienced that. And that has produced joy in our lives. It's really easy to kind of look at some of the circumstances that we're going through and be kind of humdrum and fixate on like the last 10 minutes of our lives. But over and over and over again, over the years, for many of us, we have experienced the joy of Jesus that can't be taken away. No devil in hell can steal it. No circumstance can thwart it. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken away. It's a joy that is eternal. Grace experienced. Grace felt. We've been talking about this hope and love and all that. And so, and peace. And so, like, hope is one of those things where, like, we are, like, it's almost the way that we talk about it is, like, we are the controllers of hope. You know, I'm holding out hope. We say that. I'm not hopeless, right? I'm holding it. It's like we are the ones who kind of possess hope. And then if we would just kind of do something, it's just kind of weird, but if we do something, we could somehow get that hope, right? And then on the other hand, like, peace is like, Lord, I need you to give me peace. And so, like, he's the one. It's just weird the way we talk about it. It's not, like, biblical or anything. It's just the way that we colloquially, like, normally talk about it. Lord, I need some peace. I need you to peace. I can't give the peace, but you give the peace. So on the one hand, we talk about hope as, like, we're the ones. Then peace, kind of like God's the one. And then joy, I don't know that we talk about it at all. It's just sort of like one of those things like, well, I couldn't dare ask for joy. That's, like, so far out of my, I don't know, prayer request. I didn't even ask for that. But all that to say, I think that's really, at least in my own experience, I can relate to that. You know, hope, yeah, peace, love, yeah, but joy, it's just almost like it's outside of what I do with my Christianity. It's like outside of what I ask for. And so I would just like, just to close us out, to ask that the Lord would renew that joy. And I would say, guys, if you want some joy, follow Jesus. I don't know how to say it any differently, really. If you want joy, follow the Master. He's the light of the world. I would like to give you some catchy, cool other things, but I think that's it. He's salvation. He's salvation. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you are joy. You are that grace that has been shown. You are that grace that has been demonstrated, and we can experience it day by day. No matter what, no matter what, if we're feeling like Sonia's feeling today, if we're feeling like even I was feeling today, not even knowing, you know, how much of a contribution I can make and sharing your truth today, there's just all these range of emotions that we have. Sadness, some of us gladness, some of us have a lot of joy, all of those things, we bring them all to you, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause us to experience your joy. Cause us to experience your joy through your saving grace. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us day by day to follow you step by step. We know that as we follow you, that is where the joy happens. That is where the joy is experienced. And so give us hearts, willing hearts. And just as Sonia has expressed, help us to really be the body of Christ to one another, to care, to reach out, and to love. Lord, we praise you. We thank you so much for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.